partiu atrás. Quando vivi cantou, corri pra ver você. Atrás da serra o sol tava pra se esconder. Quando você partiu, eu não esqueço mais. Meu coração, amor, partiu atrás.
This is Dirk Sugar, stay at home dad and pre-COVID comedian. I'm sorry, I'm eating a hot turkey sandwich. Again. I made tons for the holidays. I'll probably still be eating turkey till Valentine's Day. But it's time we talk about our resolutions. Please, stay at home and limit your contacts. Let's protect each other. And if anyone has a recipe that calls for 17 pounds of leftover turkey, I really need that. Like, really. Let's keep our spirits up.
A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Imaginary dreams, colors have to do with time.
If you want a color, I'm by your side.
If you want a child,
I'm by your side.
If you want a child, do you know the feeling?
I'm by your
do
side.
You know I'm willing?
If you want a child, I'm by your side.
Try. Welcome to CKT 90.3 FM. This is All Things McGill. I'm Rose.
I'm Becca.
And we are recording this show with an iPhone and roommates as opposed to the formally outlined, assigned radio show hosts. Just to change things up. So today we wanted to talk about the negative impacts of technology, which is revolutionary. I mean, what a topic. No one's ever talked about it before. We're just really paving the way for new ground here.
It's pretty vast.
Yeah, it's pretty vast, exactly. Anyways.
Hey, didn't Sophocles say something about that one time?
He did. Nothing. You know what Sophocles says? He said, nothing vast enters the life of mortals without...
A curse.
Right.
That was at the beginning of this documentary I saw called The Social Dilemma on Netflix, which really, I feel like it's really relevant for the life of college students just because most of us are on social media. I've been on social media since the sixth grade.
I thought you were going to say since the 60s. Word?
Oh, like before the internet existed? Yep. Yeah, exactly. When did you guys join social media?
Oh, gosh. Well, at Sushi, you joined Instagram 2 months ago.
That's like the seventh time I've, like, reinstalled the app.
But yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I think I first joined it proper when I was 14, maybe?
Okay.
12, 14, something like that.
Yeah.
I want to say, like, 8th grade, 9th grade.
Really?
I was always late to the game.
I remember I was at an award ceremony. You know when you get, like, principal's list?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And everybody, it was after the summer of, after 5th grade. And so I was entering 6th grade, if that makes sense. And these people around me were pressuring me, like, Rose, have you heard of Instagram? Like, and I was like, yeah, I have. But, like, never thought about making an account anywhere. And that's when Rose_volleyballqueen came out. Like, it came into existence, yeah. Into fruition. And after that, I mean, I don't think I've had a phone since then without Instagram downloaded.
I think most of my, like, accounts on social media things are kind of, like, I know if it was, like, pre-13 or post-13 based on if, like, Boo Smurf is part of my username. You know
what
I mean?
Oh, yes. Because your Spotify is... What is it?
My Spotify is SmurfGirl27. My Gmail account is Boo.Smurf33. Because I was really worried about my identity.
Right.
Right.
On the internet. And that was, like, something totally disconnected from me, you know?
So the usernames, like, stick with you.
They stick. You can't change that stuff on Spotify. I've tried.
No, yeah. Snapchat, same thing. So I have my stupid middle name in it. Anyways, yeah. So we all joined. I think that's how people distinguish Gen Z. It's the generation who got on social media in middle school,
mm-hmm.
basically. So if you were born after 1996-ish, you were probably running into social media between the sixth and ninth grades. So that means that we've been essentially addicted to something since we were 12 years old.
That's crazy.
Addicted to something. I mean, after reading or watching this documentary, it characterized being addicted to your phone as, like, as bad as a drug addiction, which is interesting because when you think about drugs and alcohol addictions, they kill so many people per year. And when they were showing the statistics of, like, the degradation of mental health among young women, especially, like, preteen girls in the rise in suicide rates, it was astronomical. The rates were increasing at about 80%, and it was happening. It was a shift from, like, 2009, 2010 to 2011 and 2013, like, huge increases in mental health issues, eating disorders, and yeah, just fundamentally suicide rates, which is tragic. And it places the technological addiction into, I think, a much more serious problem. Because I never really perceived it as something like that. I always thought it was just like, oh yeah, we're all addicted to our phones, ha ha ha. But, I mean, a lot of people get sad after checking Instagram. I know when you were checking Instagram yesterday, just for the first 5 minutes, afterwards you just put your phone on the table and you're like...
Like the first five images.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were just done. And that's because it's just... I think once you... After... I know you like delete Instagram, re-download it. Because you know you can't have that during school because you just get...
And I don't want it.
Yeah. But when you come back to it, it's like you barely want to spend time on it because you've exited this like superficial world that coming back into is just kind of ridiculous. But at the same time, everybody is on social media.
Exactly.
And there's just this part of you that wants to be part of something and wants to connect with people. I was talking to my brother the other day and I was telling him, yeah, the amount of times I've wanted to delete Instagram, but I just don't do it because I know that if I don't have Instagram, my dad won't see what I'm up to as much. I literally keep it. This is what I tell myself. But I'm just like, oh, if I delete Instagram, then how is my dad gonna know what I'm up to? I kind of want him to witness my life as like at a distance, so I don't have to actively tell him what I'm doing every day, but at the same time he kind of just knows because of my Instagram. But at the so I've just been attached to this platform because it gives me this perceived sense of connection with my family members, but deep down it's just another capitalist scheme.
Yeah,
which is upsetting. And that's what this documentary was saying. It had a bunch of CEOs of tech companies when they were first being created and people who were in charge of monetizing social media platforms, which is like, when you think about it, nobody's going to download a social media platform unless it's free. And they were saying whenever there's a free app or a free product anywhere, it's because you are the product. And it's that's basically what it means, because advertisers come into play and they're basically vying and buying into the attention, your attention. So that's how they formed this business model, to draw in profit from a free app. So now the social media companies had developed an incentive to keep you spending time on this app for as long as possible. So then there were...
to get more advertisers.
Exactly, to get more advertisers. And so then there were a bunch of designers who were talking throughout the documentary and were basically going through all the little details they did to make this the most addictive app possible. It was especially terrifying when they were going through how notifications worked.
Yeah.
Because just the colors of the notifications, the noise, the frequency. And this is what they said, they did something terrifying. And it was just, there was at one point, it's like a storyline throughout. And there's this young boy, he's not on Instagram for a bit because he's actually talking to somebody. And it shows, like, the people behind the screen as if there's people controlling the screen. And they were saying, like, oh, he hasn't been on Instagram in a while. Like, what are we going to do? We have to get his attention so he comes back. And they sent him, like, a random-ass notification. Like, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah both liked this post. You know those useless Instagram notifications that say, oh, this person and this person both follow this person?
You should follow them,
too. You should follow them, too. Yeah. I had never realized the point of those notifications because they were so stupid. But turns out they send those types of notifications when you haven't been on those platforms in, like, an absurd amount of time. Like, a time that's not, that they're not used to. So today, I kind of tested it out and I didn't go on Instagram for, I mean, probably, like, 2 or 3 hours, which... I'm embarrassed to say, is not common. Like, I'm usually on it, like, once an hour or something. And I got those notifications that were just, like, you know, Becca and Atsushi both follow this person or some, those stupid ones. And it's insane to see that come to fruition, exactly, like, right before your eyes, because they build this app so meticulously that they're made so that way the consumer is never aware of that manipulation. And that's why, I don't know, TikTok is just so upfront about it, because I neither of you are on TikTok. No, thank God. I mean, it's really a good decision, because it, the algorithm is just to a T. It's you entirely. I remember I was biking home with this random person. I work at a bakery, and this random person I had seen in the bakery saw me as I was biking home, and they talked to me about the cows in India while we were biking. And then I got home and I scrolled through TikTok, and the fifth TikTok I saw was about the sacredness of cows in India. And I was just like, oh, that's kind of concerning. And not because I'm scared of people listening in on my conversations. Like, I don't think I have anything to hide necessarily. But the fact that it's, that that information is then being used for me to spend more time on an app, so that way I'm more likely to buy a product that's being, that people are paying advertising.
Yeah. Or even with advertising, if you, like, speak about something around your phone, you then get, like, ads for it. Like,
yeah.
Nobody's, which, business.
I don't even understand why, how advertisers get money. Like, a, I don't understand. I didn't mean it like that. I don't understand how. I guess it's because I'm not the type of person who just orders stuff,
right,
like, a lot. But if somebody, if I saw an ad for, like, a vacuum cleaner or makeup, I'm not the type who would fall into that and get it.
Right.
But at the same time, I think about my previous purchases of, like, Glossier or Zoffel, like a swimsuit, well, company.
I think what, how advertising at least works for me is, like, it shows up and then it puts it in your head, like, oh, this company sells this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, maybe you click on it, maybe you don't. But, like, then when you actually do need that product, you're like, oh, I know this company sells this, yeah, so I'm gonna go buy from there.
Yeah. Like Gymshark and everything.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I, the thing that terrifies me the most is that we're just ordinary people who have a significant portion of our lives are outside social media. Like, we go to school, we're college students, we have interests far beyond social media. But I can't imagine watching that documentary and being what, like a quote-unquote social media influencer. I mean, that would be terrifying to me to know that I'm just a pawn, a, an even more important pawn in this scheme, because you are being, you are selling things to your own audience.
Exactly.
Because you're getting sponsorships, you're getting, there are ads playing on your very videos. And I mean, and you can't just delete Instagram off of your phone, because it's how you make money.
But, like, I think influencers are then, like, part of the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they go from being a consumer who's addicted to this to being the producer who's using it and monetizing it. Because they're monetizing,
yeah,
it.
Yeah. We're not getting... Right. That makes sense.
So I think that it kind of, like, they flip a switch.
They flip a switch. It, which is also interesting, because at the same time, the influencers are just as susceptible to falling into the social media trap, because at one point one of the CEOs was like, I got home one day from work, a long day at work, and I just wanted to spend time with my kids, but I was in the pantry just answering emails, scrolling through Facebook, like catching up on this supposed work I had to do, when in reality, I had just fallen victim to the very algorithm I was perfecting that day to, yeah, just make this even more addicted. Like, I fell victim to it. So I can't even imagine what people who have no clue what this algorithm looks like or does, how they fall victim to it.
Absolutely.
Which is just, it was the most terrifying thing, especially when you think about 11-year-olds who are just spending hours on TikTok, Instagram. I mean, Snapchat has kind of fallen off the face of the earth in terms of, it's more of like a direct messaging site than anything.
And that's kind of like,
and it's, I mean, a lot of people use it to contact people who they added when they were like 12 years old. So it's kind of, have you guys ever seen the movie The Truman Show?
No.
Yeah. Well, it's basically, it's like this whole fabricated world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, at one point, one of the guys in the documentary was just like, it's just like 2.7 billion Truman Shows or worlds created by algorithms to make it the most perfect advertising space, you know, because you're far more impressionable when you're in this world that agrees with you,
yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, you see things that you agree with, and then you're much more vulnerable or susceptible to buying the things you see in the advertising boxes because you're in that positive, addictive mindset. And that's when the documentary took a turn for the worse in terms of, like, how terrifying it was. Because it basically talked about the whole fake news campaign and how it's been just exacerbated by social media insofar as it, because of the algorithm's incessant need to make it the most perfect world for you based on all of your actions, based on all of your clicks and what you spend time looking at on your phone, how long you spend looking at a certain post, it perpetuates that over and over again. So then you get further pushed into this perfect world that aligns with every opinion you've ever had. And then we think, based on TikTok, I would think the world is full of leftist liberals who hate Donald Trump and hate, you know, the Democrats who just perpetuate capitalism, and I would just be like a socialist revolutionary. Like, that's what it looks like. That's what the world looks like, because every single person I go through is just like that. But in reality, there's a Trump supporter living in the house next door to me who gets a TikTok feed, and they would think that the only person who existed in the world, you know, is a Trump supporter. And so that means that people are radicalized, further radicalized by what they think the general opinion is.
Exactly.
So they think everybody's a Trump supporter, so they think that's okay, and they keep on going deeper and deeper in the conspiracy theories and everything until you have two groups of people who have been provoked to think that way. And at one point, the guy was just like, somebody asked him, like, what are you most scared of? Why are you scared of what you've created? And he was like, I'm scared of something like a civil war happening. Because in all of these perceived developed countries, there have been crazy uprisings as a result of, like, surveillance and, like, government schemes and, like, the conspiracies, but also, you know, like, these social justice uprisings, you know, and it's just been on every side. Everybody's just being, like, extreme, and we wonder why, and it's because it's so easy now to mobilize and to do all these things, and I don't know. That part was especially scary to me, because I was just like, oh, like, how is this gonna get better? I thought it was just because of Donald Trump, but turns out it's because he has this entire support system. And that's why Putin was largely successful in getting Trump elected in 2016. It's because he infiltrated the social media system and put radical extremists in there to make people more likely to vote for Donald Trump.
Right. I think that's, like, really scary, because we see this social media used as mobilization as a really, like, powerful, positive thing in terms of Black Lives Matter, feminism, or, like, LGBTQ plus rights. But then we kind of don't acknowledge that
it works both ways.
And that is really terrifying, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the main gist. And basically just how corporations use artificial intelligence to outsmart us and figure out our vulnerabilities and just capitalize off of that over and over again. And I just didn't realize how connected capitalism and social media like really were. I didn't understand that. And then I thought about environmentalism and the fact that social media and environmentalism are so connected, because I mean, you consume more if you're on social media, because you're more likely to order things. Mm-hmm. You're more likely to buy whatever, because you're constantly being bombarded with sponsorships and ads. And so I feel like there's a link between less social media use and better treatment of the environment.
Absolutely, yeah. I also think that even beyond ads and sponsorships, just like seeing a friend or someone you know like post something wearing a certain thing or mm-hmm. doing a certain something, and then you're like, oh, like I need, she looks so happy in that post, if I have that I'll be happy, subconsciously or consciously.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to just this comparison and more consumerism to try and reach something that social media is presenting to you as good or excellent.
That's a good point. Especially, well, our friend just got a waist trainer, which, if you don't know what that is, it's basically like, I would say, a contemporary corset.
Yeah, but more with the purpose of
reducing the size of your waist, right?
Like, permanently, and helping you, like, change the shape of your body.
Yeah, because, I mean, waists are probably the most naturally occurring, like, you're born with or without a waist. Like, that part of your body is permanent. Right? Yeah, I mean, like, it can fluctuate, of course, but, like, some people have less waist than others, and somehow social media has made women believe that every single woman needs to have this, like, hourglass, perfect body shape, perceived as perfect, to the point where women have been putting these, like, or people of all genders and sex, like, anyone has been putting these constricted, binding, corset type things that are meant, you're meant to work out in them, you're meant to spend the whole day in them, and they end up like rearranging your organs. Like, it's really disturbing.
Yeah, it's not,
it's not good. No, and it's not healthy. And we were just like, you know, why'd you buy that? Like, this isn't the thing, this is what we're trying to fight against. Because I mean, people face a whole nother beast when you think about their own bodies compared to what the bodies are looking like on Instagram.
Absolutely.
And that's just a different topic entirely. It's just a lot of people get off of Instagram and they just feel bad about themselves because they've just seen Kim Kardashian advertise, like, with her small ass waist, advertising a waist trainer, and you're just like, oh, if I get that, maybe I'll look a lot like her. You know, maybe I'll finally get this unachievable thing.
Or even beyond products, just, like, looking in the mirror and feeling happy about yourself and then entering Instagram and it's like, well, actually, the way you should look or the way that you should want to look is this tiny waist, big butt, half of it's surgery, half of it's Photoshop. And some of it is very genuine and real, and that is excellent to see. There's definitely good content out there, but then there's also a ton of bad content that's just, like, pushing these standards, and just people are comparing themselves to it, and it's not.
I mean, there's a whole, they were talking about plastic surgeons who were getting requests to make customers look more like how they see themselves in Instagram and Snapchat filters.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I want this version of myself. This is what I mean, the Snapchat filters that blur your skin up,
I love those, yeah.
Well, no, it's just like, but it kind of insinuates that having red marks on your face is something bad, because inherently you look better with your filter on.
And it was just like, I remember when I got my senior pictures and they just automatically blurred my acne out. Mm. And I was just like, the audacity for you. I mean, obviously I don't like my acne, but it's been a journey for me to accept it. And the fact that you assume that I'm so disgusted by it, that I'd want it to be blurred out. That to me is offensive.
Absolutely,
and
because that's not you anymore.
Exactly. And I feel like that's what social media is. It's making you think that these certain parts of you are wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this is all things McGill. For McGill students, I would recommend not having social, or obviously everybody has their own ways to cope. During finals season, I take off all my social media accounts from my phone because it's a time waster. And I know I could be having better time, spending my time in a much more relaxing way than being on Instagram. Because the 3 hours I'm spending on Instagram could be spent like doing anything that would be considered self-care. And it would be a lot more restorative than...
Yeah, I think especially during finals, not just as time, but as like a mental health thing as well, because it's a really stressful and like awful time for a lot of people, and just taking these like almost like triggers off of your phone and out of your life can be really productive when you don't have the mental strength to kind of look at that photo and say that's not real or that's not what I should be consuming.
And I also saw this YouTuber, she was like, I got rid of my smartphone and got like a brick flip phone or whatever. And she said her life changed completely and that everything she did had to be a lot more organized and deliberate. Because before she left the house, she had to know where she was going so she could print out the map that she needed to use, you know, because you can't use your phone like that. Yeah. She had to have a restaurant in mind that she'd want to go to. She had to have a little digital camera so that she could take pictures if she wanted. And she had to have like a little journal where she wrote things down that she wanted to remember throughout the day. Or she had to go get a newspaper because she couldn't read the news on her phone. And so, or she had to talk to somebody at the bus stop to know when the next bus was coming. And it made it so that way her life was much more meaningful and she had a lot more activities that added meaning to her life, if that makes sense. And I was just, I didn't even think about that. I'd never even thought about the ease of having the IMAPs thing on your phone. Yeah. It completely changes everything. And she said also, sometimes I was used to just burying down all these emotions and things I hadn't processed with like music, just like listening to music when you don't need to listen to music necessarily in that specific time. And she ended up being really sad 2 weeks after she had deleted everything and gotten a new phone, because so much of her sadness that she had carried and pushed down throughout her life had been covered up by just like the dopamine of checking your Instagram feed or, you know, the instant gratification that ends up covering so much sadness that you're trying to like, you're trying to heal, but it can't heal when you just have these mindless spouts on Instagram. So she got really sad because all of this stuff came to the surface. And as she was processing it with her therapist, she like discovered a much more fulfilling life, one where she actually processes emotions instead of just checking Instagram for 2 hours. I mean, when I get sad, I just go on Instagram and I get even sadder, but then like I never address why I was sad in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like divert that emotion.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I remember us talking about the fact that we're so uncomfortable with being with our own thoughts that at one point you just stop thinking them and you become like this shell of a human that's just, you know, scrolling, which, I mean, pretty convincing argument to get rid of this thing. And then at that point, I hated myself because I was like, I just got this new iPhone 11 for Christmas.
Wow, she is beautiful.
She is beautiful, but what a bitch. Like, I'm just pissed.
I mean, I do think that, I think that's awesome, like, what that YouTuber did. I think that's really cool, but
yeah.
I do think that is, like, a privilege to be able, because the convenience that the cell phone, like, brings into our lives is
absolutely
massive.
It's
like,
astronomical.
So I think, like, it does, like, really help a lot of people in some ways. And just, like, it's very, like, simple internet access. Like, they mm-hmm. do a lot of programs in developing countries where they, like, pass out cell phones and then they can access the internet. And like,
bank accounts.
Yeah. And it changes things hugely.
Yeah.
So they do have these very positive uses. But then I think the way that they've been converted to being used in
really
the lives
ways.
Of a lot of people is just very negative.
Yeah, I guess it's, like, a personal preference at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you just have to make that. I mean, it's equivalent to the privilege that van lifers have.
Exactly.
To just, like, pick their stuff up and go on this year-long, you know,
life
trip using their
travel,
parents'
discover yourself.
Trust fund.
Yeah.
Like, it's in the same vein. There's technology. I mean, nobody had this evil intention to make teenagers addicted to their phones.
No.
But once things got going and this original plan that was to make people be more connected with their friends and family, once they figured out that that needed to be monetized, things
that
took...
That could be monetized.
Yeah, that could be monetized in the first place. That took a turn for the worst. And at this point, it's just about... Because I was thinking, you know, if you have a phone that you've had for a long time and you want to upgrade to another phone, you could have one phone that's like a flip phone to do your immediate emergency calls that you would have most of the time. Then you could have another phone if social media is like your job. You leave it at home and you only use it like during the workday or... you know, you have an iPod for, like, music. I don't know. You can do whatever you need to just, like, reduce. I don't think anybody inherently, like, needs social media. But, like, we can all make an effort to, like, reduce our time on it.
Mm.
You know, in your own way.
Because if you feel that's necessary.
If you feel that's necessary in your life. I know I want to do that. Now, but God knows it's gonna take me a bit.
Yeah,
cause I'm addicted. I even went on Instagram after watching that documentary. How embarrassing! How embarrassing! Cause it's just like, even after something that terrifying, I had to get my fix.
Damn. That's crazy. Yeah.
It's like the first time I meet after watching.
Cowspiracy.
Yeah. How embarrassing. It's humiliating. The fact that it can be presented to you, like, on this silver platter, yet you still... Which is, like, you know, obviously, like, I'm not satanic,
perfect.
But, like, mm-hmm. It just kind of sucks. Let me see if I had any other notes. I don't think so. I mean, Sophocles. My little diagrams... But correlating back to McGill, I guess.
Yeah, I forgot.
It's a McGill student.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
this is what quarantine does to you. It just... I mean, what is McGill? Like, we're just a bunch of students learning at home. Like, we're not even connected to McGill anymore. We're just in our own rooms.
McGill is organizing our Zoom calls, and that's the extent of it.
That's the extent of it. And then I'll FaceTime my group members and not even use Zoom, so I'm completely isolated from the McGill institution. So, yeah, this is what the show has morphed into. Because McGill is nothing without students inside of that building.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, it kind of is stuff, I guess.
It's just the bureaucracy and... I don't really want to think about that.
That godforsaken bureaucracy. Yeah, you are. I talk so much crap about McGill because, I mean...
Also, I don't know who is in charge of McGill's social media.
That's a very interesting
But
point.
Their Instagram is god-awful.
Yeah, it's really interesting how they have this thing, and it's supposed to be their, like, connection to students. And, like, that easy, like, at-their-level connection to students. And it
looks like a 65-year-old is controlling it. You need an 11-year-old to control your Instagram.
Yeah. Or even, like, a student, I don't know.
Yeah, because it just, it's...
That would be, like, great job training. Put that on an 11-year-old kid's CV.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
when I just about reached double digits, I was managing the Canadian Harvard's social media pages.
No, honestly.
We're number, like, 4 in Canada now. Yeah. I'm not for Harvard anymore.
Oh, gosh, we have dropped the ball. That's okay, though. God
the
knows.
Schools dropped the ball. We didn't do shit.
Yeah, you're right.
Nothing to do with the rankings.
Yeah, wait, what? How are the rankings formed?
What do they even mean?
They're not based on, like, they're based on, like, really rigid BS criteria about, like, number of admissions, like, SAT scores and all that. So, like, just standardized
things.
Like, right, you know. But...
Yeah, apparently.
I don't think that has anything to do with, like, regular ass people.
Oh, yeah, no, it has
regular
nothing
ass
to do with.
Things
that, yeah. Like, apparently, Harvard, I mean, I've heard things about Harvard being number one because there's a lot of grade inflation.
It's huge, yeah.
Or just, like, Ivy Leagues in general.
Yeah. Harvard's, like, notoriously
really?
The worst of them, though, yeah.
I had no idea. Like, I don't even understand how that works. It's just complicated. Anyways, it's all just a freaking spectacle, especially after all this COVID stuff. I mean, like, what really matters? Oh, a little bit of an update. Is it the 4th on Monday? I think it's going to be the...
Today is the 3rd.
Today's
the
4th. So, yeah. So, today is the January 4th, if you're listening to this on the Monday. There's probably going to be snow on the ground. We have to get a weather update.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
There's snow on the ground today, so I reckon it'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. Everything is still closed in Montreal. So, non-essential. Can't go. Can't do it.
Mm-mm. Like, in Pharmaprix, if you go into Pharmaprix, all the not deemed non-essential items are caution taped off. And some of the aisles are blocked. Like, you can't go there.
This is crazy. I don't even know about this because I'm in my 14-day quarantine after coming back from Charleston, South Carolina. United States hotspot. Check.
Yay.
So, I didn't even know about that. But how...
No, it's crazy.
Apocalyptic, if you ask me.
It's very apocalyptic, yeah.
Like, once I'm at Pharmaprix, just let me get my mascara.
I know.
We're not even allowed to get mascara.
I don't know how we're going to do it. We're going to look... awful in all our Instagram pictures now. The mascara.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and then our likes are gonna go down, and then
our
followers are
gonna
go down, and then we're not gonna get the fix we need, and then we're gonna
some
die.
11-year-old working for McGill is gonna have a way better
Instagram profile than me with much more
presence.
Likes and
you're gonna compare
interactions.
Yourself to it.
Yeah.
Ugh, the day I compare myself to anything posted on the McGill Instagram page is the day I leave this city. That's the condition. Oh my gosh, let's see. Next time on the radio show, I'll talk about all the ads that were recommended to me after this radio show. Anyways, I'm Rose.
I'm Fat Girl.
Thank you for listening to this edition of All Things McGill at CKP 90.2 FM. Hope you have a wonderful week, day, and year. Happy New Year. Bye. Yeah.
To slow the spread of the virus, we need to press pause again. That's why, once more, we need to stay home and avoid all non-essential travel. Gatherings are prohibited in red zones and are to be avoided in orange zones. And it's important to keep following the everyday health measures. Let's press pause again to curb the spread. Learn more at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves properly. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec. We need to press pause again. That's why, once more, we need to stay home and avoid all non-essential travel. Gatherings are prohibited in red zones and are to be avoided in orange zones. And it's important to keep following the everyday health measures. Let's press pause again to curb the spread. Learn more at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves properly. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.